Eddie Mair on LBC.
5:51. Here is Simon Marks's American Day.
Eddie, with so much going on here, it is easy to miss some of the details. Yes, President Trump is on course to make history today for all the wrong reasons. Later, he will become the first American president ever to be impeached twice by the House of Representatives. But as well as the impassioned arguments that we've heard this morning, sparked by the events of exactly 1 week ago, when the president was inciting a mob to invade the U.S. Capitol in a bid to overturn the outcome of the U.S. election, as well as all that, it's the imagery that is so striking. Reporters arriving at the Capitol this morning found scores of National Guard troops sleeping in the corridors in uniform, clutching their rifles as they snoozed, using their kit bags as pillows. The Capitol building, like the rest of this city, is a fortress.
I'm on a truck, sir.
And outside the building at around 9 a.m., fresh supplies were arriving. More riot shields, more guns being unpacked from trucks and lined up in racks on the chilly morning pavement. This is a city suddenly getting used to a new normal, the ongoing threat of fresh attacks by members of President Trump's mob. The FBI says they are being planned. More of the insurrectionists were rounded up and arrested today, mugshots of some of them being distributed just as the impeachment process was getting underway.
The signal was unmistakable. These thugs should stage a coup so Donald Trump can hang on to power.
Congressman Jim McGovern of Massachusetts, the Democrat who kicked it all off this morning in a debate that set the rules for the hours that lie ahead.
This beacon of democracy became the site of a vicious attack. Rioters chanted, "Hang Mike Pence," as a noose and gallows were built a stone's throw from the Capitol steps. Capitol police officers were beaten and sprayed with pepper spray. Attackers hunted down lawmakers to hold them hostage or worse. This was not a protest. This was an insurrection that was incited by Donald Trump.
As his speech indicated, the Democrats know this case is open and shut. And unlike the president's first impeachment, this time round, they're winning some Republican support. At least six Republicans in Congress say they will back the president's impeachment. There may be as many as 20 by the time the day is done. There is no effort to lobby or cajole Republicans to stay on side. No whip is being applied. This will be a vote of conscience. And even some of those opposed to impeachment, like Congressman Tom Cole of Oklahoma, who only last week was one Republican trying to block the affirmation of Joe Biden's election victory, sounded very much as though he understood the weakness of his own argument.
President Trump has conceded the 2020 election. Congress has certified the results of the election. And next Wednesday, President-elect Biden will be sworn in as the President of the United States. But instead of moving forward as a unifying force, the majority in the House is choosing to divide us further. With only a week to go in his term, the majority is asking us to consider a resolution impeaching President Trump. And they do so knowing full well that even if the House passes this resolution, the Senate will not be able to begin considering these charges until after President Trump's term ends.
There is no guarantee of that, though, because late last night, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, indicated that he wants to be rid of Donald Trump for good. He's privately backing the impeachment effort in the House of Representatives, a position that increases the possibility that he may put Donald Trump on rapid trial in the Senate or use the mere threat of it to try and force the president's resignation. The stakes here are immeasurably high. Blast barriers have been put in place all around the Capitol building, even on K Street, headquarters of the city's vast lobbying industry. Police today are routinely stopping cars and conducting constant identification checks. The fear here is abundant after the FBI warned that the president's mob isn't finished yet and is planning fresh attacks.
They're angry and they're frustrated, and I feel that frustration. But are they sworn to President Trump? Or are they sworn to our Constitution?
Joni Ernst, a Republican from Iowa who may soon be a member of the jury at the president's trial if it happens in the Senate.
If he had just stepped up immediately and said, stop, please, stop. We can't allow this to happen. This is our United States Capitol. Unfortunately, it took him hours to get that message pushed out. And in the meantime, we had the Capitol that was overrun.
That sense of frustration with President Trump is for many Republicans real fury now. He had three separate chances yesterday on camera directly to urge his armed supporters to lay down their weapons and abandon the plans the FBI has identified for fresh violence all over the country. He wouldn't do it. Instead, in Texas yesterday afternoon, he scoffed at the notion that the 25th Amendment of the Constitution might be used to get rid of him.
The 25th Amendment is of zero risk to me, but will come back to haunt Joe Biden and the Biden administration. As the expression goes, be careful what you wish for.
The idea that the president thinks he's in the driver's seat, even in a position to raise fresh questions there about the president-elect's mental acuity, is remarkable. Testament to a man who has completely lost the plot, but who, we now know, came closer than was originally understood to succeeding in his attempted coup.
We need enough people! We need to push forward!
In a video filmed by members of the president's mob who had already smashed their way into the Capitol building last Wednesday and were ransacking an office, a rioter still outside it uses a megaphone to direct them on their way. It is a video diary of an attempted revolution here.
Hey guys, I've been in the other room. Listen to me. In the other room on the other side of this door, right here where these feet are standing, there is a glass that if somebody, if it's broken, you can drop down into a room underneath it. There's also two doors in the other room. One at the rear and one to the right when you go in. So people should probably coordinate together if you're going to take this building.
How she and other rioters knew so much about the layout of the congressional building is a central piece of the investigation. And one Democrat in the House of Representatives says she witnessed some Republican lawmakers showing protesters around the building earlier in the week. Congresswoman Miki Sherrill, a former federal prosecutor, is from New Jersey.
Not only do I intend to see that the president is removed and never runs for office again, I also intend to see that those members of Congress who abetted him, those members of Congress who had groups coming through the Capitol that I saw on January 5th, a reconnaissance for the next day, those members of Congress that incited this violent crowd, I'm going to see that they're held accountable.
Arrests are continuing. The criminal complaint against one man from Georgia says he had a pistol and an assault rifle and had boasted of plans to shoot Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, in the head live on television. A Virginia man who wore a T-shirt emblazoned with the slogan Camp Auschwitz is in custody, facing as yet undisclosed charges. An Alabama man faces 17 counts, including illegal possession of multiple guns, 11 Molotov cocktails, smoke bombs, and a stun gun. He had been living out of his truck in Washington for a week. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, according to acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin.
I think the scope and scale of this investigation in these cases are really unprecedented, not only in FBI history, but probably DOJ history, in which essentially the Capitol grounds outside and inside are essentially a crime scene.
He said it would take years fully to neutralize the violent threat that exists from President Donald Trump's supporters. The crackdown to prevent violence at Joe Biden's inauguration 1 week today now involves private companies. Airbnb today canceled every single booking it's received for the Washington area next week, the website confirming that it had discovered some users associated with known hate groups. Washington's police chief said this morning there will be 20,000 National Guard troops on the streets of this city for the inauguration. That is four times the number of U.S. soldiers currently deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. And again, no moves whatsoever today by the President of the United States to call off his army of insurgents. But there were moves in New York this morning against the president.
We have the right to terminate contracts, obviously, if a criminal act has been committed, and a criminal act has been committed. So goodbye to the Trump Organization. We're not doing any business with you. By the way, a lot of other people are not doing any business with you any longer.
The mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, at the stroke of a pen, terminating $17 million worth of contracts with Donald Trump's business empire. As the president's former defense secretary, Jim Mattis, predicted last week, he will soon be left a man without a country. The country, though, will be left in crisis. For after men like General Mattis thought erroneously that they could tame the president, Joe Biden will come to power in a city that is like a war zone, amid evidence that fresh assaults are coming, confronting the worst economic crisis since the 1930s, and yesterday alone, more than 4,400 COVID-19 deaths in a single day. 4,400. A 24-hour record, about which Eddie, President Trump, of course, has had not one word to say.
Simon Marks is American Day.
This is LBC.